Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Jen, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Jen.
Thanks, Michael.
Great to hear your voice.
Thank you. I know. Yeah, it hasn't been too long since I was last on, but this was not our original plan.
No, this was not our original plan. And with practice, we learn to respond in the moment.
We do. We do. And I won't say people don't know who our original plan was, do they?
No, they don't.
Okay. So maybe we could just leave it as a cliffhanger because I'll bet you we'll be able to line her up again for a coming week. I'm guessing she just had a technology glitch that can't overcome right now.
Yes.
So definitely stay tuned because it was going to be fabulous.
Yes, indeed. And also fabulous, as you know, is the work in Africa.
Yeah, exactly. And so when you called me to say that the technology wasn't working, I said, well, why don't we, there's lots more to tell about Africa. Maybe we could spend the next few good news minutes talking about that.
Oh, yes, please.
So I thought a fun thing to tell people would be, I think we made it clear in the blogs, you'll have to say, Michael, that one of the big projects we worked on was communication, that we really, really want to work with the team there to be able to get regular updates here. Partly, of course, because we want to be able to assist with the content of the project, even when we're not there, but also so that we can keep everyone informed and in on the energy and excitement of what's going on there.
Yes.
So our hard work on communication seems to be paying off. And we got this fabulous weekly report from them. I actually was blown away when I opened it. Martha, I think, is the one who's our accountant there. I think she's the one who kind of put it all together. But it's incredibly professional looking, as if, you know, they had a report something, you know, a report kind of service do it.
Yeah.
But it's got everyone who came to the meeting, and then it lays out the agenda for the meeting, and then they just begin through the points. And some of my favorite things, they say towards the beginning of the report, they're talking about how they've decided that they're going to share who chairs the meeting. So I have it in front of me. It says, a member of the committee suggested if all members could be given the opportunity to chair the meeting and take minutes as every member in the cooperative was equal. In other words, the English was a little difficult there. But in other words, that they're going to share who's in charge of the meeting. They're going to pass that responsibility around so that all the members of the committee stay on equal footing.
Yeah, that's great.
Really fun.
Yeah, very
fun. Another thing along those lines, which I was really inspired by, is they're looking at, I think we also talked about this in the blog, they're looking at that revolving fund that they're starting. So the cooperative now has some money in the bank that belongs to them. It's cooperative funds. It's not Living Compassion funds. It's cooperative funds. And so they're looking at using that for small loans within the cooperative. So maybe someone needs a mattress to sleep on, and somebody else needs windows for their house, and somebody else needs to send their son to school, that they can apply for these small little loans. And of course, since there are 40 of them, or 30, you know, in the high 30s, they're going to have to choose, you know, who gets the money. And they decided that they would begin with the people who have not yet gotten roof loans. And I just found that quite moving, especially because the committee who is making that decision, the leadership committee, all of them have gotten roof loans.
Yeah.
So they're essentially deciding that the people who are going to get the loans are not them. It's the people who have not yet gotten any loan money at all.
Yes. Yes. That's great. You know, what comes to mind when you say that is, I think I hear often in practice about getting the big picture.
Yeah.
As conditioning is focused on me and my very small picture, you know, trying to get out of that to see the big picture of, you know, what is really most compassionate for everyone here.
Yeah, exactly. And it's incredibly inspiring that someone who has relatively little would be moved to make a decision from that place, from that big picture place that you're talking about.
Yes, so, and I was fascinated in the blog, Jen, because you wrote near the end, you were talking about that meeting about communication, and I think you said it was a 90-minute meeting, and I thought, wow, that's really getting into the issues of communication.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's endless, Michael. I mean, anywhere, really, I'm finding the amount of time you could spend on training oneself and a group of people on communication. I mean, 90 minutes was just getting started. Just scratching
yes.
the
surface. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
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 It's great. It's great.
So, you know, there's so much more to tell, but I'm aware that it's time for the show.
It is time for the show, and I'd like to appreciate you for stepping in at the last moment here.
It's a pleasure.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, Jen.
Thanks, Michael.
Okay.
Have a good show.
We will. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon. What a trooper, huh?
Yes.
Troops all the way over to Africa, and then just say, how about doing this? And there she is.
There's that willingness again.
There's that willingness that we talk about so much. Exactly.
Yes. Yes. Very fun. Very
good.
Inspiring.
I can't wait to hear. I guess it's going to be next week. Maybe we'll find out who Jen was pitch hitting for.
Yes. Yes, I have to do a little investigation and check in on that.
Ah.
Sherry, you have some events coming up.
I do.
Still time to register for your event at Namaste in Felton, and registration is going to close a week from today, Tuesday, June 15th.
Yeah, I just saw numbers on it, too, and I can't imagine that it's going to make it till the deadline, but maybe it will. We are known for kind of crowding people in there a little bit. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. I think it's going to be, I hope it's going to be a powerful workshop on where we are with practice right now. This is some of the tools and techniques that we're focused on right now that are being very, very helpful, at least for me.
Yes, yes. I'll be there, and I'm very excited about it.
Good.
And
good.
I think the title is What is True About You?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep. Which I suspect is not a lot of the nonsense that is there much of the time.
Don't you think? Yeah. Let's see. Yeah. So how great to spend a weekend, you know, getting really clear on what actually is true about you, and then maybe those voices in the head, you know, we can say, I don't think so. You don't have the big picture. You don't have the current picture. We're not sure you ever did have a picture. So,
yeah.
No more voices. Thank you.
Wonderful. And then you'll also be leading a workshop at Mount Madonna at the end of July.
Yes. Yeah. And I don't know about this, Mike. I mean, I do know about that. But, you know, there's going to be a conference call tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah.
And I think everybody's invited to that, aren't they?
I believe that's true.
Yeah, where we're going to walk through the Sangha Market, the new Sangha Market site, so that people can just get all their questions answered about what is it and how does it work and how do you sell stuff and how do you buy stuff and all of that. We're going to go through it tomorrow afternoon. I think it's at 5:15. So hope people will join us.
Yes.
Take the mystery out.
Yes, yes. Kind of step by step how to use the site.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
Wonderful.
Fun.
And we have some callers here.
Good.
Yay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Sherry. This is Virginia from Washington State.
Hey, Virginia.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, good.
What's
yeah.
going on?
Well, it's funny. I thought I was later in the call, so or later in the hour, so got caught
so
off.
So you weren't prepared. This is good. This is Zen, you know. We strive not to be prepared. In fact, while you scramble around there and figure out what you're going to talk about, I was participating in a little filming. A gal is doing a movie on loss and grief and that sort of thing. And so I was being filmed. And, you know, for an interview or any of that sort of thing, people always want to give me what they're going to tell me ahead of time. You know, they want to give me the questions that they're going to ask, and they tell me, you know, what they want to know from me. I was saying, don't do that. Don't, you know, we'll just spoil it. You know, let's wait and see what comes up in the moment. I don't want to have to think about that ahead of time. So this is very good. Here we are in the moment. This is, and you're the first person on the show, and so.
Yeah.
What should we look at?
It's like being in the moment never fails you.
It never fails you. And when we do that, when we really step back and just let whatever is there be there, whether it's in that situation where somebody is asking me, you know, a question about something that's not, doesn't have anything to do with me, or whether I'm being asked to speak about what's going on with me right then, in either case, allowing life to answer those questions rather than my conditioned mind is going to be much, much more beneficial to me than what usually happens, because when we let karmically conditioned mind speak for us, we're going to get the same story.
Yeah, right.
It only knows one story. You know, what's wrong with you, and what's lacking. That's its whole deal. So, but life has many, 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 many endless things to inform us about.
Yeah, thank you. That's lovely, actually. And well, I'll just kind of launch here, Sherry.
Good.
Based on what you said, well, I guess what I'm looking at, one of the reasons I called was just to defy the conditioned mind. And secondly, I think what I've been looking at lately is, one of the things I've been looking at is acceptance. Well, excuse me, acceptance and resistance, kind of that. I think I've heard you say it, trying to hate something out of existence.
Right. Doesn't actually work.
No, it doesn't. And what's really interesting is I was waiting for the call is, you know, there's the hating something out of resistance, and then the other experience that I've had is once something is brought into a circle of acceptance, it's like everything shifts.
Yes. Yes.
And
yes.
And you know, and as I was sitting here waiting, I noticed that there's another duality that's happening as I'm waiting for the call, which is, you know, you need to get out of the resistance and into the acceptance. It's kind of all, you know, unless you step back and then step back again, it kind of just plays the same.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Whatever the content is, it's going to, conditioned mind is going to attempt to throw it into whichever side of the duality you don't currently seem to be on.
Right.
So there's going to be resistance, resistance, resistance. Okay, you've seen its resistance. Okay, well, you should be accepting. You should be accepting. You should be accepting.
Right.
So you accept it. Well, yeah, but you're not really accepting it. You
right.
So it just doesn't matter where you step. It's going to put two sides of a duality. It's going to make two sides of a duality out of that wherever you put your foot.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And so I guess partly I'm looking for encouragement and also some suggestions from you because I really do. Well, that position of just that real openness to what is, there's a real empowerment from that. It comes from that.
Yeah. Yes. All the energy in the world.
All the energy in the world, yes.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like, I guess it's kind of like dropping everything. It's like dropping everything to get there.
Yes. Yes. So what was occurring to me when you were saying that, one of my favorite things in the world, which I think was inspired by Dag Hammarskjöld, yes and thank you. You know, his way of saying it was, for everything that has been, thank you. For everything to come, yes. So you can just, you know, put that into one thing, and you realize that you've been focusing your attention on one of these dualities. and you just say, yes, thank you. And then just stay in the enjoyment of that. And within seconds, of course, it's going to have you, it's going to want to pull you into a conversation about that, about something else. And as soon as you realize that it's going somewhere with it, you just say, yes, yes, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm up for that, and I can see little signs posted all around, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so whatever it says, just agree with it and be grateful.
Okay.
Accept and be grateful. And it, because, as we well know, unless it can get you to be on the other side of the duality, there isn't going to be anything maintaining that duality. It can't hook you into duality if you don't cooperate. Now, it can do both sides of the duality. You should do this. No, you shouldn't. Yes, you should.
Right.
No, you shouldn't. Yes, you should. No, you shouldn't. Yes, you should. And you can just, you know, be standing there watching that go back and forth. But you watching that creates another duality. Okay? There's it. There's it and me. It and me. It and me. It and me. You don't want to get in that one either.
So let me see if I can reflect that back to you, Sherry. So me watching duality, it says, this is wrong, you need to do this. You know, this is the wrong place to be, you need to be this place, whatever. Me watching that is getting hooked in?
You certainly can.
You could.
So
you can.
So there it is. It's going back and forth. You should be there. No, you should be there. No. Well, no, you should be there. No, I don't think so. That's wrong. You should be there. And you're going, well, let's see, should I? Shouldn't I? Where should I?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's true. I do. So now we've got a left-right duality, and we've got a forward-backward duality.
Right.
You with me?
Yeah, I see it. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Me being hooked into that back and forth, you should, you shouldn't, you should, you shouldn't, creates a me and an it, and that's another duality.
Right. Right. And so what you said a couple minutes ago was, if I don't, if I don't participate or if I don't get involved with the duality, it doesn't give conditioning a hook to hook into. Or
that's
something
right.
Like?
It can't do anything.
Can't do anything.
You know, it's like somebody who's trying to annoy you. You know, they're just trying to set a hook, you know, teasing you about something or needling you about something or whatever it is. And they can do that for as long as they can maintain an interest in that, but it's not going anywhere until you get engaged.
Right.
And, of course, what we can sense with that is, given enough time, they would finally give up and go try to do something else, because it's not working. There's no juice. There's nothing maintaining the effort.
Right.
And that's why you just turn back and say, you know, as soon as, whatever it is, well, blah, 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 blah. Yes. Yes. Thank you. Because that yes, thank you is bringing you back to the moment, to yourself, to pleasure, to enjoyment, to gratitude. And there, you're having a good time. And whatever is said to you causes you to return to the present and have a good time, well, who cares
right.
what they're doing? We know what you're doing.
Yeah. Right. I can see how it could just neutralize it. And it's interesting because when you first gave me the Dag Hammarskjöld quote, I thought, oh, no, it's too simple. You know, it's too short.
That's right. That's
but,
right. What is there to noodle about that, for heaven's sake?
Right. I'm starting to see the beauty of the simplicity of it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Because that's all there is to it. You're either here in this moment, enjoying this moment, or you're in an imaginary world where there's a problem. Those
right.
Those are the only... So there's nothing complex about it. which is why conditioned mind wants to say, oh, that can't be it. That's too simple. Well,
right.
Okay, if it's something really complex, then you're really going to have to figure that out, aren't you?
Right. Oh, yeah, right. Absolutely. They would give me, right, I wouldn't necessarily even have to do it. I would just to think about it for a while.
Oh, you just think about it for the rest of your life, trying to figure out this very complex thing that you just can't seem to get. And, of course, you can't get it because it's not complex. There's actually nothing to figure out. You just say, yes, thank you, and you're where you want to be.
Right. And just to add one other thing to that, Sherry, and just, well, no, I'm not going to add anything. You know, I'm just going to do it because, well, I think what the conditioned mind is telling me is, well, what I'm, and this is such old karmic stuff, is, yeah, but you really do need to make a change here. And yet, it's
yes.
That
yes.
process sucks
thank
away
you.
The power. Oops. Yes, thank you.
Right? I mean, there it is.
Yes.
Yes, yes
it
thank
is.
You. You know, you yes. don't even, you, I mean, maybe that's true.
Yes.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe I do need to. Yes. Yes, thank you. That's good input. Now, am I
okay.
going to think about that? No, not for a single second. But thanks for the reminder.
Right.
And if, you know, if at some point it's time for you to make a move, you'll make a move. But you won't make a move because you've been noodling it.
Right.
That's how you don't make a move.
That's how you don't make a move. Right.
Yeah?
Okay.
So, you know, it kind of does, actually. Now, this is not hard and fast, but pretty close. You can either think about it or you can do it. And conditioning, of course, wants us to think about it.
Yeah, you just hit the nail on the head. I mean, that's the karmic pattern that I have been experiencing, yeah.
Yeah.
And
so,
in fact,
and
yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're not alone in that.
There, okay.
Almost all conditioned people believe that thinking about something, getting upset about it, ranting and raving about it, being righteously indignant is action.
Yeah, right.
But it's not.
Right. Right.
It's what people do instead of acting.
Right. Okay. Thank
Good.
You, Sherry. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Virginia. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
What would you do if you knew you could not fail? How free would you be? How deep would you love, dear? What would you hear if you listened to your beautiful heart?
This music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you bathed in an ocean of roses? What if you swam in a river of...
Watchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Watchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have more callers here.
Right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Janet calling from New Hampshire.
Hey, Janet.
Hi.
How is life?
Life is good. So it's been a month since I called.
Wow.
Because I'm doing that month commitment.
Oh, very good.
And yeah, it was really interesting when I looked at, every time I looked at my book today and it said, oh, call into the radio show. And instead of this excitement, you know, I heard that the voice that I hear, conditioning comes in and says, oh, man, it's like, you got to call in tonight.
Uh-huh. What a hardship.
And that is, I'm like, no, actually, I don't have to call in. But it's like this immediate, you know, this immediate voice that's right there.
Well, and
like,
and so perfect. Oh, man, you have to call in tonight? It's like, it's just so obvious. Who are you?
Yeah.
You go do something else. This is my life. This is what I'm doing. You know,
I know, but
there's
a couple things about that, and one of them is having it down, committing to something, which is why I know I love being at the monastery so much, because you show up.
Yes,
you're there. You're expected to be there for that, and so when I write something down in my book, I really stick to it. And when I wrote it down, it's something I really wanted to do.
Yes.
And
this is really important. It's not that that you need to have some burning issue to call in to the show about. It's not, you know, we don't do practice because just when we're suffering. Okay, most people do, but that's not the point. And so the point is that there are certain things that you do because they support you in being present in your life. Yeah?
Right.
Yeah. And so
exactly.
One of those things is calling into the radio show once a month. That's a commitment that you made. That'll help support you, keep you focused. Keep you feeling connected with Sangha. Good. That's what you're doing for yourself. That's the point. Not that we're going to have something in this conversation that necessarily just, you know, illuminates your life and, all the lights come on and then it's over and you can retire and that sort of thing. That's not that's not what we're talking about. Yeah. It's going to meditation group, whether I feel like it or not. It's
mm-hmm.
contributing something to a discussion, whether the voices are telling me I have something meaningful to say or not. Showing up. It's being there. It's participating.
It's so perfect. I mean, I loved just seeing what arose today. And I loved watching myself just sitting here, you know, getting on the call and sitting here and at one moment I just kind of, you know, got a picture of myself there and I said, well, this person really is invested in this. You know, this person really wants to be here. You know, this person is really participating.
Yeah.
And it was such a great thing to see, you know, kind of sandwiched in between, well, you know, what are you gonna do this for?
Yeah.
You know, the opposite that you get from conditioning. Like,
yeah.
What is this?
Yeah. Yeah.
And
it's
so.
I go back with that image to being a little kid. You know, there you are, five or six or seven or whatever before school became so traumatic. I mean, maybe it didn't for everybody, but you know, somebody's playing a game. And you really want to play.
Mm-hmm.
you just want to play. It takes a long time before you get information about, yeah, but are you really good at it, and do they really want you to, and is this really the group that you want to play with, and, you know, all of that stuff that gets layered on. But there was a time when all you wanted to do was just run out there and join the play.
And that's why I started, that's why I made the commitment, because one night I was listening to the show and I was thinking, well, they're so lucky that they're on the show tonight. I was like, no, that's, you know, you can participate. You can play.
Yeah.
You can do that.
Yeah, they're not lucky.
And
they made the effort.
They made the effort. And that's what it is. And that's what I was really appreciating about myself tonight. You know?
Yeah.
Janet, you really make the effort.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, you make the effort. You make the commitment, which is an effort right there, right? That comes out of a commitment. So you're practicing being aware. You're practicing being present. You know what takes care of you. You know what you need. And there's a willingness to provide for yourself what it is that you need. And then you make a commitment that's going to support you in meeting that need. And then you stick to that. So I don't know if Jen was talking about this in the blog or on something where I heard her talking about it, but about the woman in the cooperative in Cantalomba who I don't even know what they were talking about, but her comment was something about living compassion, coming there and being with them, and feeling loved as a result of somebody making that kind of effort. That we go there out of love for them, and that's the most meaningful part of it for her. And she's right.
Mm-hmm.
we do. We make a tremendous effort out of love for them, right? And so feel that you're doing that for yourself, all those little people in there, all those traumatized folks who never really felt completely seen or heard or understood or appreciated or whatever, suddenly they have somebody who is making a tremendous effort for them because she loves them.
Yeah, that's nice. I like that.
Very good, isn't it?
And anything I wanted to talk about, you already answered with Virginia, which was really perfect.
Yeah. Sangha is good.
You know, so it's good all the way around. And I wanted to tell you one funny thing. Whenever I'm on the phone, like I'll be on the phone with my reflective listening buddy or while I was waiting for this to get on, you know, I always get the click and it's the message coming in from you. The practice everywhere message.
Oh, the tweet.
The tweet comes in. So I'll be in the middle of a reflective listening call, and then the tweet will be coming in from you, and it's like, practice everywhere.
Right, I'm being ganged
I just
up
want,
on. Yeah.
I just wanted to tell you that the tweets just come in there all the time.
Perfect, isn't it?
In fact,
I think one came
great.
In just as this show started, didn't it? Because
one came in while I was waiting. Yep.
Yeah, because I had to reach over and turn off my phone because oh my goodness, they're after us. Yeah, it's good. It's very good.
It's very good, Sherry. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Janet. Talk to you in a month, if not
before. I'll talk to you in a month, and I'll see you in July.
Perfect.
Okay.
Good
bye.
Night.
Thanks for joining us, Janet. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, that was fun. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. There's a lot at stake with this. Even though the voices would like us to think that, you know, either like something like calling into the radio show, oh, really, who cares? You know, come on. It's been a long day. I'm tired. You know, you don't want to. I mean, really. And it's important. It means so much. You know, can conditioning does what it does to people because it knows how to deliver. My fingers are making those little quotes in the air. It knows how to deliver meaning. Yeah? So
yeah.
It says something, and the words are whatever the words are. But the meaning is usually designed to devastate. And so if we use, as we are wont to do in this practice, if we use those same techniques for ourselves, then we really benefit because we are deeply conditioned to respond to those things at a really deep level. So to get the meaning of having somebody make whatever effort to show up for you, that's big.
Yes, that is big. And I was seeing as you were talking that what happens for me when I get hooked by conditioning is I start engaging with the words. The
yes.
meaning has been delivered. I'm feeling bad. And then the instead of just recognizing, oh, I'm feeling bad, that's conditioning, I can just drop that. I don't need to engage that. When I engage with the words, that's when I'm getting in even deeper.
Yes, yes, yes. And so, of course, one of the things that that we talk about a lot in practice is then use the words for yourself. Drop those words that conditioning wants to have use against you, and use words that take care of you.
Yes.
Yeah, so you remind yourself of who you are and what's important to you and why you're doing this and what has meaning for you in your life and how to support yourself. And, you know, you just have a whole conversation that you would rather have.
Yes.
Yeah? And yes. Then when you can, of course, you just take the Virginia route of, yes,
thank you.
Yeah, that was, yes, thank you for reminding me how much I don't want to be in relationship with you. Thank you for reminding me to come back to the breath and be where I am. Yes, yes, thank you.
Wonderful. And we have another caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Valerie.
Hey, Valerie.
In the middle of Minnesota.
In the middle of Minnesota.
Yeah.
How's life there?
Good.
Good. All right, what's Good. Going on?
I was really feeling inspired by a sample CD on the website where you made a visualization of somebody being hurt in a car accident and what you would say to them.
Uh-huh.
And the authority was what she said. You were repeating back what the audience was saying.
Uh-huh.
So, really good. So, I did my best to re-record Shri Assurances with that sort of voice. And,
But sometimes life feels like a car wreck, doesn't it?
Yeah. Really, really good experience that brought me a lot of brought me out of the realm of anxiety and emotion for you know how when I'm not caught up in conditioning.
Uh-huh. And do you have a sense that, I don't know how to quite say this, but so you know that that's a process that you can do. right?
Yeah.
You know that you can speak those words to that anxious part of you, and you can actually get her attention and get her to focus on your comforting, caring, reassuring words and presence. And she actually calms down. Yeah?
Yeah.
And that anxiety just kind of goes away for a little while. And then I would bet that you can watch it build back up again, right? In come the stories and...
That's the harder part for me, you know? I have thoughts. I've tried to describe the way I even sort of unintelligently attach to stories that, you know, that there's something in me that needs some sort of definite story that, that all of a sudden some random story, literally random, is something that I need to attach to because of the emotions. And I'm not really, stepping back from this very emotion-ridden process that even if some kind of story is I'm willingly attaching to some sort of story, doing something in the face of the fear instead of attaching to the story is the fear book is what I've been looking at lately.
Uh-huh.
Doing something in spite of the
yeah.
story and the emotions.
Yeah.
Even though that's really what you want so, so bad
to keep you in that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So I the way you're describing it, it sounds like you can really feel it as kind of a tug of war, almost
yeah.
a battle to get yourself out of that sticky pull into the story and the misery.
It really feels like a second skin delving into the stories.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And it feels like I need to bring up memories of you talking, saying, you know, doing something in spite of what sensations are in your body, doing
yeah.
things in spite of.
Yeah.
Stories.
Yeah. And, you know, it's so counter to the information we have, which is really too bad. And I was just talking with somebody about that earlier today, that all those sensations are going. Every, you know, just the nerve endings are trying to get out through the skin, and the mind is racing, and the heart is pounding, and there's just all this stuff going on. And to have the... whatever it takes, I think what initially turns us in this direction is desperation. But then we move toward willingness and some of those more, consciously directed choices where you sit down and you just breathe. You know, you just take long, slow, full breaths and perhaps focusing on something like the, you know, whatever you would say to the person that you found the car wreck there. And you're just repeating that and focusing on the breath, nice, long, slow breath, until all of those sensations subside.
And I mean, you mentioned the word desperation, and I also listened to me talking to my tape recorder from 2006, how misguided a lot of the information I was saying was, and how I didn't understand the idea of unconditional, of sitting and breathing.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, it takes us a while, though.
I still probably don't, yep.
Yeah.
You know, Yeah.
But a whole lot more than you did then.
Yeah.
Yeah. And can you have tremendous appreciation for that person who was really just doing the best she could?
There was still a lot of attachment there to feeling uncomfortable and wanting to change it and feeling ashamed about it. So there's another, that's really hard to step back and stop believing to be yes, thank you.
Well,
I'm
really, really going to ask you to work very, very hard at that. Because if you think about it, you know, you go back however long, it sounds like 4 or 5 years, something like that, and you find there a person who's really struggling, right?
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
Really struggling, in a lot of pain, really suffering. Nobody to help her.
I guess,
right?
I'm still taking it personally, Amy. I'm sorry, I've interrupted you.
Well, no, that's okay. I'm going to suggest that something else is going on, okay? That self-hate actually has just gotten a hold of that and is going to use it against you.
Yeah.
And what
yeah.
you want to do is look at that person and really realize what her life circumstances were like and what she was up against, how little information she had. There was nobody around helping her to understand or step back or disidentify or have a different choice about life, right? She was just on her own doing the best she could to survive.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And you know what? She did.
Yeah.
Because you're here.
Yeah, I can feel.
Yeah. So not to indulge that. I'm going to encourage you not to indulge that. It's really
yeah.
it's really very cruel
to
judge her in that way, because there wasn't anybody to help her, and she really did get you where you are now. So she gets a big thank you, lots of big thank yous for what she went through, and that she hung on and that she helped you get to where you are now. Okay.
Thank you for that disidentification.
Yeah. In fact, you know what you could do? You could have a little party for her.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little thank you party for her. And think about all of the things that she went through and how her going through that brought you to the place where you are now. How much you have to be grateful to her for.
So really, really looking at her, really looking at her with
yeah.
eyes
of love.
Love.
Yeah, eyes of love and appreciation. You know, if she were your best friend and was going through that kind of place of really just being on her own and struggling and suffering and no help and support and didn't know which way to turn. I mean, how much compassion would you have for her?
Yeah.
All you could say is, good job.
Yeah.
It's amazing that you made it. I can't believe you made it.
That's pretty amazing.
It is amazing. It's completely amazing. Yeah. Yeah, so a little gratitude party, maybe make a big banner, put it over the door, come in, good food, cake, maybe a cake, little gifts. Gifts are always nice. Thank you, gifts. Okay? Then let me know how it went.
you.
Now, did we talk you into a complete identification here?
I hope not. I think I feel like a little bit lighter in my chest, the idea that I can think of her as a friend.
Oh, yeah. A good friend. Carried you on her shoulders for a lot of miles. So you were ready to get down and walk on your own. Can you picture it?
Yeah.
Right. Don't be a stranger there in the middle of Minnesota.
Oh, boy. Okay. I did go.
Sorry, Valerie, I temporarily muted you there. Go ahead.
Well, I did go to the Minnesota Zen Center.
Oh, good.
Is that okay?
I mean, are you being unfaithful?
Well, I don't want to. I guess I know how identified. I'm becoming more aware of how identified I am and can be when I'm talking, and there's small talk involved and stuff like that, and that's not.
I know. It's too bad, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean,
here's the thing. Here's what I would encourage you with. Pursue everything that supports you. And pursue everything that supports you in a way that supports you. So you partake of the things that do support you, and you cut out on the things that don't.
What was that? Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Make it work for you, but take the support wherever you can find it.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be an argument.
No. No. Not a bit. All right. Keep me posted, huh?
Yes. Thank you. Good night.
Thanks for calling. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Valerie. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, that was very moving. I'm going to take those words myself, too.
Yeah. Yeah. We just forget how many folks went through an awful lot to get us to whatever day we find ourselves in.
Yes, yes, definitely. I can see there's a kind of taking for granted.
Yeah, as if I did it. Do you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sitting here now, and it would be easy to say, well, you know, I did this, and I did that, and I went through this, and no, I didn't. You know, I'm the happy result of what all those other people struggled with.
Yes. And the funny thing is, as you're talking, is conditioning wants to claim that accomplishment or something.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy.
And, of course, all conditioning was doing was trying to interfere with the whole thing every step of the way.
Yes.
It is shameless, isn't it?
It is indeed. Let's take a moment to stop, drop.
Oh, good idea.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by VoiceBusters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, jog, and breathe. Stop, jog, and breathe.
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another call here.
Right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself? Next caller, you are now live on the air. Oh, I lost that caller. Okay, let's go to the next one. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Beth.
Hey, Beth.
Hi, Sherry.
How are you?
I support the idea of a second radio show.
Okay. Have you been waiting long?
About 4 weeks.
Mm.
Yeah, so, but, you know, it doesn't really matter because I'm still back at yes, thank you, I love you.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So somebody else is going to talk about at least whatever they talk about, God knows I can use. And so there we are. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have no idea where to start. You and I have had many conversations in my head.
Uh-huh.
Over those.
Let me ask you this. Did I say anything really meaningful?
Often.
Okay, good.
Quite often.
All right, good.
Yeah. Yeah. In our last conversation, we talked about becoming a Zen master and then choosing kind of some point and then turning around and departing, letting go. And meaning that there continues to be a struggle between the person who really does want to wake up and wants comfort. I don't think that's my phone.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. It's strange, isn't it? So the duality seems to be between a part of you who wants to wake up and somebody who wants comfort? Is that the...
Yeah, comfort is a huge trap for me.
And now how are those in opposition or in conflict?
Because it's not really comfort. It's going to sleep.
Oh, I see. Comfort means unconscious.
Yeah.
So
but
part
that's
of you
not the lure. It's not like saying that's the result.
Right. Well, if it said, you know, I just want you to be unconscious, you would go, guys, that doesn't sound like a good deal. But if it's, I really want you to be comfortable, well, that sounds nice.
Yeah, it sounds really nice.
But you recognize that what it really means is, I want you to go unconscious.
I'm finding that that's kind of the result. And that, and then I start worrying, and then I start getting agitated and anxious and fearful. And
so you're talked into an idea that the direction you're going in is one of comfort, but
yeah.
what you're realizing you actually get is agitation and anxiety and that sort of thing.
Yeah, like I wake up the next morning and I don't want to meditate.
Uh-huh. So what kinds of things give you this unconscious comfort? Do you mind saying?
Chocolate, food's a big one. TV shows,
okay,
which
so
I don't have a TV anymore because of that reason. It seems to be 98% of my life.
I see.
Things that don't are like gardening, work. I'm teaching myself to go to sleep without reading a book, which I don't like. That's a big one for me.
Now, is it reading a book that's a problem or what you read that's a problem?
Well, it starts out with good literature, you know, To Kill a Mockingbird. And then
never read that. Never read that. You want to hear an outrageous opinion? Good literature.
Okay.
Good literature is the world of egocentric karmic conditioning elegantly expressed.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So, now, for instance,
condition.
Yeah. Yeah, the human the conditioned human condition.
Yes.
So, I
yes.
too like to read before I go to sleep. Now, I am currently making my way through the Gita and the Dhammapada. Okay?
Yes.
Yeah. It sets me up for good nighttime activity.
It's kind of like the danger zone is like 4 to 5 in the afternoon. I come home tired.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's like I rummage around and see all the good stuff, but I don't want any of it.
I want to take advantage of this. So now let's go back a little bit, because the way we started out is part of you really wants to wake up and part of you wants comfort. So let's say this really is a matter of comfort. So what would give you actual, real, not unconsciousness, real comfort?
Yes. Several things came to mind.
Okay.
Including, you know, cleaning and, you know, it's like coming down in the morning to a clean kitchen is quite comforting, very delightful, uplifting, leads to possibilities. Mm-hmm. Coming down to a kitchen, you know, with three nights of dinner dishes,
not
so comforting.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so what would you need to be doing while you're doing that? So, for instance, what if you came in and you sat down, you made yourself a cup of tea or whatever it is that you like to have, and you sat down and you put your feet up, and you sat there and reviewed for yourself all of the great, good, kind, thoughtful, considerate, caring things that you had done and thought for the day, through the day. Maybe you could let somebody make a list of those. Okay? Maybe using your non-dominant hand. Let some little folks in there talk about their favorite things that they did all day, the best things that they did all day long. Okay? Then maybe you get up and you're going to fix yourself something to eat. So perhaps what you want to do while you're fixing yourself something to eat is listen to something that reminds you of what's important to you and what you care about, what's meaningful to you, what you're thankful for, what you enjoy, what you appreciate, okay? So maybe you spend some time making a little recording of that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe you add to that some of the things that inspire you and bring you back to your heart and that sort of thing. And you listen to that as you're fixing your dinner, getting your kitchen cleaned up, or whatever it is that you want to do. Then maybe, if by that time, maybe you would feel like doing some yoga, something like that, some little stretches that help your body feel good. And maybe you would actually like to listen to some nice music while that goes on. You with me?
Yeah. In gardening, digging in pots.
Yeah.
You know, watering things.
Yeah. Talking to them, telling them how beautiful they are and how much you enjoy them and how glad you are that you share life together and whatever. Okay.
Yeah, it's like when you turn around, they've grown. You know, I watch them and they do nothing, and then I turn around and they're twice the size.
It's like they're alive. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and they do bring me true comfort. That
yes.
They do bring me true comfort.
All right. Now, I know that we're at the end of our time, and it might be another 4 weeks, but I hope not, because, you know, calling early. Okay? But I want you to focus on this, okay, and start down this process of coming up with all of the things that legitimately bring you comfort. I bet, like, hot baths at the end of a day or cool baths in the muggy weather or, you know, the things that really authentically, legitimately, honest to God, truly bring you comfort. Then you're going to, and then we're going to have a real live conversation about that on the radio, okay? Not just in your head.
Recorded and everything.
Yeah, not just in your head. I like to get to do my part.
Yes. Yes, you surprise me very often. Thank you.
Okay, make a list and start down through them and see what works and doesn't work, and you know you're going to fine tune it, and you know this is a project.
Yeah.
Become an expert in true comfort.
Yes.
All right. Take care of yourself.
Good night, Sherry.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. You've been listening to another amazing, insightful edition of Open Air. Sherry, it's a great privilege to be part of this show.
Yes, it is. We are lucky. We are fortunate people. Or what did I say to Janet? Not lucky. We choose this. We choose to show up. Wasn't it something like that?
Yeah.
So we are blessed in that we know what we want to show up for, and then we do it.
Yes, and all of these lovely people who join us.
Exactly. What a team.
Great. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Michael. Good night.
Good night.